who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, November the 22nd, 2012. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Kingdom Church, Part 1.
I'm going to introduce our evening speaker and our morning speaker tomorrow. Ronnie Bejew, I want to say old friend, but I don't mean that in an age.
Yeah,
in
an age. Say it anyway.
I don't know. Y'all been coming here for a long time. And his wife was supposed to come, and she was coming, but then she couldn't come. And so we're going to miss you, Diane, if you're watching.
She is.
Amen. Amen. We love you. And next time, we've already got that rain check, all right? Ronnie, yesterday, when he called, he said, I'm going to teach on the kingdom. And I said, all right. And then I went and told Kevin that was when Diane wasn't coming.
Yeah.
And I said, Ronnie said he could take Diane's spot. And Kevin says, well, that's okay. He's going to teach on the kingdom. And I said, how did you know that? He just told me that on the phone. He said, because that's why I invited him. He teaches on the kingdom. So your reputation precedes you, brother.
Thank you.
Well, come on up, and I'm not going to make any references to your...
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're just going to let the Lord have His way.
Praise the Lord. Welcome. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, 2012. Hi, honey. I'll be seeing you in all the familiar places. And my little Hannah. I told him I'd wave to him. And I got up here to minister. How many of you brought your Bibles?
Amen.
How many of you have a couple of hours?
Amen.
How about all night?
Amen.
All right, open your Bibles with me to John Gospel chapter 19. For the sake of time, I'm going to have to do some paraphrasing, but I want to take time to thank Brother Kevin and his lovely wife, First Lady Patty, for having us. And I was just laughing to myself when we got ready to pray over the offering. I said I could tell how many people had not come here because when the general was here, you did not sit down when you prayed over the offering. Brother Glenn used to say, you do your best praying standing up, you know, not sitting down. Somebody say, I'm glad I was standing up. And some of them say, I'm glad I was sitting down. Amen. John chapter 19, verse 21. I want to address the emerging church, or actually the kingdom church tonight, because we're living in an hour where we are going through a church age and we progressively are moving into a kingdom age. And it is imperative to know, I want to lay down some foundational principles tonight, and whatever we don't take care of tonight, we'll take care of tomorrow morning, since I was highly honored and privileged to have two services back to back, and I have never done that other than the year that we had an ice storm and we had no electricity and I was preaching up here with a lantern. That was the only time I had back to back. So John 19:21, and we're going to pray. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, Jesus, I am the King of the Jews. Look at your neighbor tonight and say, there's a king in you. Now, you're going to have to help me preach now. You're going to have to really, I like for you to interact. Say, there's a king in you. All right, let's try one more time. For those of you from Arkansas, local folks, there's a king in you.
King.
All you out-of-staters, there's a king in you.
King.
Amen. Father, we are grateful and honored. Lord, all over the world, a great day of celebration of family relationships. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For all your goodness, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for saving us and keeping us. And Lord, we're thankful that we are waiting for your soon appearing. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody in the church said,
amen.
Amen. I hope you brought a pencil and paper tonight because I have a tendency to move rapidly. Sometimes not as rapid as others. I like to follow the Holy Ghost. How many of you have ever heard of the Holy Ghost? I like when Sister Jane sang that song. She said it came from the Baptist church. And I said, I wonder if they knew what they were singing when it said about the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that the Holy Ghost is not a bad name? It's talking about the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit of God, who lives in us and abides in us. Now, you're going to have to interact with me tonight as we move along in these scriptures. I want you to return to Romans chapter 14 so I can lay a little foundation. How many of you have heard much teaching on the kingdom of God? Here's what's happening. Everything in a nutshell. We've had church for over 2,000 years. We've had religion for over 2,000 years. But what we lacked was relationship. And the only time you can understand relationship is when you realize that there's a king that lives inside of you and that you realize that you belong into a kingdom that is not made with hands. And the Bible said it's a kingdom that comes without outward observation. When the disciples asked Jesus, when was the kingdom coming? He said, the kingdom of God does not come in Luke. He paraphrased it and said, not coming with outward observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. Put your hand on your abdomen and say, I am pregnant with the kingdom of God. There's a son that lives inside of me who rules and reigns and have his dominion. So when you're doing religion, you don't have that. See, religion took us so far, and I thank God for most of us who have come out of religious work. And if you haven't, after these two sermons, you're going to want to. I'm just priming my pump. Just hold on. Romans 14, Paul is addressing the church at Rome, and he makes this statement in verse 17 that is absolutely profound. And if you will take the time to dissect it and really understand what he is saying here, you will be able to separate the... Oh, hallelujah. This is too early to start it. You will begin to divide the institutionalized church, are you with me? From the organic church. Institutionalized being, you have your mindset does not go beyond your capacity to think or your intellectualism. But when you've become an organic part of God, you become part of His nature. Therefore, now you begin to think like a son and a daughter of God and not like somebody just sitting in a church occupying a chair. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So Paul begins to address these people in the church of Rome, and he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And how many of you know we love the fellowship around meat and drink? But how many of you know that a burger, fry, and a Coke is not going to get it? When you need heavenly meat. But it said it's put righteousness and peace and joy. Look at how it's placed. In the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, you need the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, you don't speak in a heavenly tongue, make sure you come up here for prayer. Because you need the Holy Ghost. Without this enduing power from above, you can't possibly understand. I'm going to prove it to you. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John 3. And he begins to talk to Nicodemus about particular things about the kingdom. And if you want to paraphrase, Nicodemus means Nike, Nick at night. Now he is a religious Jewish leader. And he absolutely sneaks up at night to try to talk to Jesus to find out where is this doctrine coming from. He's telling everybody that he's sent from God. He's doing miracles. And the first thing he talks to Nicodemus about, who is a religious leader, he said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Let me talk to this choir of it. And you cannot see the kingdom unless you are born again. And you cannot hear the king unless you're born again. Do I have anybody in the house tonight that's born again?
Amen.
Then you can hear the king, because he reigns in you and he rules in you. And so therefore, if we're going to progressively move out of religiosity into a kingdom relationship, we're going to have to begin to develop a true intimacy with God the Father.
Amen.
We've had plenty of intimacy with church. And see, the problem with the church, I'm going to get all the negatives out first. The problem with the church, she's played church for so long,
yeah,
and religiosity, that she's become a stick in the nostrils of God.
Right.
I feel like preaching a little bit. Hey! We go back in time in Genesis in the law first mentioned. We see a guy named Abraham. And before he was Abraham, he was Abram, exalted father. And his progression into the kingdom of God, this was before the law. Come on, you got to help me along tonight. It was before the law. His progression in the kingdom of God was that after he became an exalted father, he became a father of many nations. And this is you little Christianettes, we used to sing. And if you're watching by the website, listen to me. We used to sing, Father Abraham had many sons.
Yeah.
And we go to the right arm and left arm. And sometimes we say right arm, they go left arm. And we say right foot and they go left foot. Everybody's all mixed up in what they're doing. But see, the Bible said Jesus had a relationship with Abraham. So much, and so much intimacy with him, that he called him his...
What, Richard? Friend.
And here's what he tells Abraham. Because I know him, and everything I tell him, he is going to teach it, Mary, to his children. And I wonder tonight, everything that the Lord has told you and me, have we taught to our children? If you're pastoring a church and you're watching by the website, you have many children sitting under you, and it is your responsibility, Pastor, to teach them the uncompromised Word of God.
Amen.
Now, we've taught them how to be religious. I even taught them how to be religious. I was like Paul. I was the chiefest of the religious sect. But when I met Jesus on my road to Damascus, and the bright light struck me, something on the inside of me began to wake up. And when that began to wake up, I felt something swelling from the inside of me. And I realized that I was the true Son of God. And I was born from another dimension. The earth is not my home. The Bible says in Romans 8:17, go to your left, page 217 in my Bible. I got to make it a little humorous, but some of you are looking at me like you've been sucking on sour persimmons all day. Romans 8:17, watch this. Let's go to verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. You see that? That we are the children of God. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Can you hum a little bit? Lose some of your dignity. And if children, watch this, then heirs.
Yeah.
Heirs of God? A joint heir with Christ, the anointed one? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Yes. How many of you know most Christians don't want to suffer? They want that pie and eat it too. And some of you have a lot of pie already for Thanksgiving. The word children there is the word technon. There are five spiritual stages in the kingdom that we progress into. Now that's not my 5 points, but just as lagniappe, like we say in Louisiana. This is extra, don't cost you nothing, honey.
The nepias stage is when we come to Christ and His anointing and we are infants. And some folks have been in church 50 years and they're still in the nepias stage. They're still sucking on a bottle on the breast of God and still just getting milk. Now, it's okay to have milk. Do you mind if I preach? I feel like preaching that. Because milk, if you stir it enough, it gets solidified and you get some cheese. Everybody say cheese and smile at me real big. And then we move progressively into the pedion, or padion. I'm not Greek, so bear with me. Took 2 semesters, but didn't help me a whole lot. And so we begin to hear things like we never heard before. Hello? And then all of a sudden we're like these little eaglets and we start to have a little feather or two growing in church. We're going to get real spiritual. And we go to church and we got a little shout about Kuhan. And then somebody come from behind and the Lord would say to you, oh, I like that. You feel your feathers kind of growing. So you move from that dimension, come on, to what we call technon. Children. You're off the Pampers. You're off the milk. You're beginning to taste some solid food. My God, it tastes great. The Bible says strong meat belongs to them that are what? Amen. Now you begin to move into gifts and maybe even to into some administrative gifts. I got to correct my English because my wife is watching. And we move into the we are stage. And most of the we are said we find pastoral, evangelistic teachers, you know, that thing of that nature. But the progression doesn't stop there. We have to get to the last stage, which is teleos. And teleos is a full, matured son. Look at your neighbor and says, hello, son. Welcome to the kingdom. For such a time as this. Now, go back to the Gospel of John. Jesus runs across a character named Peter. I got to lay the foundation because it's a two-part message. Everybody say Peter.
Peter.
Look at your neighbor and say,
he's a troublemaker.
Just like you. Ah, caught you, didn't I? Now, John 1:42, the Bible said, and he brought him to Jesus. How many of you know somebody brought you? Come on. Somebody brought you. They didn't hog tie you and drag you. They brought you to Jesus. And you didn't find Jesus. He was already there. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. Waiting for you. For me. And when Jesus beheld, when he got a revelation of who he was looking at, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Which is interpretation? A stone. A stone. How many of you have had an opportunity to be as hard and cold as stone at the time or two in your life? But what Jesus was doing, he was preparing Peter for the kingdom. While his name was Cephas, he calls him stone. And another translation, he calls him little pebble. He knows how to humble you. Yeah, man, I'm a stone. Dude, I'm up here. I used to go to Bible college. I couldn't wait to get behind the podium so I could teach these preachers how to really preach. I was a little pebble. And the first time I got behind my podium, I have what they call stage fright. My wife said, what are you doing? I'm going, hey, you got to interpret what I said. Because the English words weren't coming out. But the very first time I said in a home setting, I preached for 2.5 hours and she's going. She's got two signals. Watch. Cut it off. I want you to relax because this word is going to penetrate your spirit. So, naming Peter that, we go to the book of Ephesus. We're going to do some Bible exercise tonight. How many of you love Bible exercise? I could quote these to you, but I'd just like for you to look at them in the Word. How many of you know you need to see how it's written in the Word? In Ephesians 2:20, now we're going to begin to take a little sneak preview. And we're going to find out how that the foundations of the church that was supposed to be set up, and it was not for a carnal church, it was not for a sensual church, it was for a spiritual church built upon a spiritual rock. But every establishment has to have something at its head. How am I doing, Carla? Am I helping you? You already know this already? I can stop right here. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:20, watch this. Let's back up to 19. And now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Means the holy one, the separated one, of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the what? And who? Apostles and prophets. We used to call them A&P company. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If you think that the power of darkness is not fighting people who are preaching kingdom now,
that's right.
I got news for you. You need to follow me for a while. Just recently, we had a brother come to, we rebirthed our church, had a 5-year sabbatical. Did a little traveling, but a little 5-year sabbatical. The Lord says, go back and finish what we started. Your rest is over. And God has blessed us and brought this young man into our life, and he's doing all the video, and we are now on YouTube. YouTube.com/forward Pure Word Guy. So after a few weeks, I said, well, brother, how are we doing? We getting any response? He says, yes. Some lady called out of Washington or Washington, D.C. in that area, and she was absolutely upset with some of your comments. I said, what? Me? The mighty man of God? Upset somebody? Impossible! Not if you're in Christ. Disagreeable? Perhaps. And so when the word says that Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, that means, word stone, that means alignment. What is the smartest thing you do with your vehicle when it's out of line, Brother Richard? Take it to the shop and get it realigned. How many of you can say, when you look at the church as a whole, she's very much out of line? Not one wheel doing this, she's got both wheels, and if the back wheels could do that, she'd be vibrating down the road. 36 years ago, God gave me a word for the ministry we have today called Cornerstone Ministry. Cornerstone means alignment. I thought it was just a good name. In my progression, I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. Is it just me? I feel like I'm constantly going to the garage and being aligned. And all my constituents and all my co-laborers, they're just moving up the corporate ladder. I mean, they're just busting up at the seams. I know that's bad English. I mean, they're just growing and growing and growing. And we remain in the same. So in my humorous nature, I figured it out. They didn't need an alignment. But I was wrong. Unless the Lord can align and realign and reposition you in this hour, you can't begin to prepare to walk in the kingdom to fulfill your destiny. Because you don't understand the king, you know you heard of him. You're not pregnant with him. You have no intimacy with him, but you have a religious relationship with him. And some of you might be intellectual enough to where you can quote 3/4 of the Bible. Wow, glory. That's wonderful. But just can you imagine if you get pregnant with this word and you begin to feed the Spirit of God that's inside of you and you realize it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. When you come to the place when you realize that not He was the first fruit offering, that you are a first fruit, that you are Christ-like, not religious-like. I can tell you when you're religious, the first thing you do is defend your church, the name on the marquee. Yep. Then the pastor next. Because you don't want anybody to disagree with you and your doctrine. That's because, I'm going to show you in a minute why you're offended. But that's not the message. Matthew 16, I'm going to paraphrase now because we're going to take up too much time reading all these verses. Jesus now has another conversation with Peter. Now this little pebble is becoming a stone in the kingdom. Matthew 16, in verse 16,
we see something else developing. Peter receives a revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the Galileans didn't teach Peter that. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood, your first cousin, your auntie, your grandma and grandpa did not reveal this to you, but my Father revealed this unto you. Now, right after that little scenario, we see that Jesus now gives us some insight. Then he tells him in verse 18, thou art a little pebble. Thou art a stone. Everybody say, a stone. Come on, say stone.
Stone.
Then he tells him, here's the foundational principle. Another glimpse. Upon this revelation, I will build my church. What that means, in 2012, we're going to quit rubbing the lantern and use this Jesus as some magical thing, making positive confessions over our situation, but never coming to the place where we deal with the issues of our heart. And therefore, we will remain as Nepios, and we can never grow up to become a Telios, because all we've ever had all of our lives in Christian religion is Pampers and baby food. Yeah. Some of that baby food tastes good. Some of that spinach stuff was nasty. Especially when your little one spits it back in your face. So when he was saying this to Peter, listen to me, people, this is what you got to get a hold of. He points out three distinct things. One, his divinity. And what that meant to Peter, who came from the old school, that there's only one God. He said, Peter, I am him. Are you with that? There's none like me. And the second thing he reveals to him is his office. Oh! My shout, glory! There's a difference between an office and just and a gift. I want to get comfortable. Jesus is at the well, and there's a little woman there. You know the story. Been married 5 times, shacking up. I don't cut punches. He's shacking up. They call it an ethical situation. She was shacking up. She is more concerned that he doesn't have a bucket to draw water from. Jesus now begins to operate in his gifting, and he says, you don't know the gift that is standing before you. How many preachers have got in here? I'm going to give you a quick sermon. There's a difference between the office and the gift. Now, he is using the gift or the word of knowledge to tell her what is her predicament. Are you with me? Right after that, the scenario changes. She still doesn't know who he is. The church still doesn't know who Jesus is. And for the most part, it's a figment of their imagination. But when you've really met him, you won't have to wonder who he is. And then the next thing we see him doing, he begins to use his office, Richard, after he told her everything about her and what she was doing. She goes up to the city. She tells the elders, Patty, hey, come see a man.
Yeah.
Come on, church. Come see a man that could tell me everything about it. He said, sir, I believe, perceive, thou art a prophet.
Yes.
Not a flaky, shaky prophet.
Yeah.
Not a prophet for $150 so I can prophesy to you. I hope you're watching my website. I had one call me from New York the other day. She said, I know you're going through something. This is Prophet So-and-so. I don't know exactly what you're going through. But if you press one right after the beep, I have a word for you. I said, wait a minute. If you have a word for me, but you don't know what I'm going through. But if I press one, then you can give me a word. I said, you have a good day and please remove my number from your log. Now, I've said that to say this to you. The church is infested. That's not a kingdom church. And what has happened to the church You can read it all through the old different prophets that talked about how Israel went a whoring after other gods and then doing this and whoredom and all this other stuff. And every time she did, God gave her an evil king. And I don't care who likes it. The reason why we don't have a righteous president is because the sins of this nation are still holding the church down. And I asked the Lord just briefly, I said, Lord, I operate in the prophet's gift and I don't brag about it. This is just who you made me. What have we lost our country? And the Lord said this to me, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, he gave me his word. And then I heard the Lord whisper. How many of you have ever heard him whisper? 4 more years for her to turn. So it's going to take people who understand who the king is and operating kingdom principles. And I wish I had about a week to tell you about all these different principles. How to operate and how to get your prayers from here into the eternal. See, we have been sold a bunch of goods that when we prayed in faith, that faith manifestation time would come. We have to wait a period. We are not bound by time. God's not bound by time. When we pray, we have to pray into the eternal. We're living in an eternal kingdom. This is Sunday school class. And when he shows up, I pray that you're ready. You will receive your assignments on how you're going to help him rule. Yes. Yes. Come on, Jane. Yes. And reign. Yes. But it doesn't start when we get to heaven. Yes. It starts right here. Yes. Now yes. is the time yes. to take the kingdom. Yes. Yes. Give the Lord a praise offering. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Y'all drink? Let's drink. Hallelujah. Water's good here in Arkansas. So Jesus is talking to them in Luke 17:21. I'm just going to paraphrase, write this down. He gives them a word about the kingdom does not come with outward observation. Here's another kingdom principle, or concept if you prefer, or principle. One of the first things you're going to find in walking in kingdom principles is the word observation. Hebrews 5:8 says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That word suffered is through the thing that God the Father allowed. You will never suffer wrongly. The thing that you will go through is what God the Father allows you to go through. Now, I preached a message not so long ago. If you can't confront your Sauls, you will never defeat your Goliaths. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. Now, the first kingdom concept of developing kingdom people, he's watching you. You're watching. Sitting on his throne, he gives you an assignment. I thought Sister Mary's word was absolutely profound. I mean, when we don't get our way, we get into the mully grubs. I was talking to this individual, I don't want to mention any names. Self-pity. When things don't go your way, how many of you is so easy for you to begin to fall into feeling sorry for yourself? Do you know how you can avoid that? Get back on course. The reason you got into self-pity is because you were off course. I don't know if it was here. I'm not preaching in a different place. I preached a message some time back called Don't Quit in the Pit. Did I preach that here? Get that. We've got a lot of resources back there. Get that. I don't preach anything that I don't get from Revelation without Revelation. I got a stack of teachings and stuff I had in Bible college. They're still stacked. I'm going to burn them suckers. They make good paper for my fireplace. I've never been able to preach them. Went to Bible school, y'all, for 4 years. Then extended my degree and got a doctorate degree, and I still, God wouldn't let me use that stuff. You know how I learned how to pastor? Believe God for 2 and 3 sermons every week. Fresh manna. Where's Tom? Fresh manna. Nothing like it. Better than leftovers. Are you with me? Now, before we get into the heartbeat of the message, Matthew 11:6 says, here's a kingdom protection principle. Before I tell you what it is, how many of you have found that going through church, the church system, you found yourself at a time or two been easily offended. Be honest with me. And you got wounds to prove it. The rest of you will have deliverance service directly after service tonight. You've never been hurt in church. The preacher's never said anything that you didn't like. This is what Jesus said to him. Blessed, happy, if you don't stumble, trip over, trivia, not lining up with your doctrine. That's what that word means. He said, blessed are they that are not offended in me, in him. So in the kingdom, if you're in Christ, you can't be offended. Somebody say, ouch. If you're out of Christ, and then you're on your little flesh, like me right now, you can be offended. But as long as you're in him, you can't be offended. Now, do you want to get the real revelation of this? If you study the principle, I asked the Lord, I said, why are they so easily offended? He said, they have no root in them. They have a lot of head knowledge, but no spiritual root. Where does the fruit come from? The root. You see the manifestation on the branches. You have to be part of the root system. So I have this little statement for you. This is extra. When you find yourself being easily offended, ask the question, why? Why am I offended? Because see what's happening in this transition we're going through. I'm going to read it just like I wrote it. We're coming out of carnality and a pagan Christianity system. What do you mean by that? We have idolized our preachers. They can do no wrong. We have idols to ourselves. Oh, this is going to hurt. Some of us, our children are our idols. I was accused of coming here and don't preach much on deliverance. Well, I know a little bit about deliverance. I've been delivered a time or two and still am. Coming out of carnality and pagan Christianity will remove the blinders for you and I to see with clarity the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world. Check it out. Draw a little line on your paper. And you write, in Christ, you cannot be offended. Outside of the line, you do the math. So when you blame the preacher, or Sister Motormouth in the church, or Brother Righteous Know-It-All, when you have not taken responsibility, help me, Mary. Ouch. For your actions. Are you ready? Point number one. We're done with introduction. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. World. Cosmos. We are translating from a cosmos, cosmetic system into a kingdom of his dear son. We're going to Colossians 1:17. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. And when God gives us an assignment, people, we're the only ones that veer from the assignment. The devil is not big enough to cause you to veer from the assignment. Amen. Can he talk you out of your salvation? Heck no! Never happened. Point number one. Let's talk briefly. We're going to conclude tomorrow morning about a descriptive kingdom. Here's what I want you to see. A kingdom that will never be destroyed. Whether you're being raptured or ruptured, there's going to be another kingdom coming upon the earth. And the midst of that chaos, the Bible talks about a fourth kingdom. In the midst of that chaos, God, the Father, is going to give us supernatural favor. Amen. Out of 36 years of ministry, this is the first time I ever opened the door of a church without a penny in my pocket. I'm talking no money. God said, call her and call her now. I called the woman. She gave us 2 months free rent. We walked in the building and the anointing of God just went, now, I'm on the tube, and now he wants to move me into local TV. I said, TV? They're not ready for me. TV? You gotta be kidding. What we gotta realize in our kingdom, concepts is this. When your time and your moment has come, it's your moment for you to step up.
Hallelujah.
I can prophesy to some of you tonight and tell you that you've been sitting on the back burner long enough.
Yeah.
And God is going to move you to the forefront. Some of you, you've been teaching Sunday school and you think that's the only thing that you are anointed to do. I got news for you. A few years ago we had an outpouring that we did once a month on a Monday night. Folks don't go to church on Monday night. The Lord spoke to my wife, said, do outpouring. And we wanted to reach to try to inner city churches and reach the middle to small churches, not the mega churches. We had over 100 churches represented in the 2 years or whatever period of time that we had it on Monday night. And the glory and the fire and the manifest presence of God and the miraculous healings. It was the first time my wife saw her angel standing behind the platform. I'm not talking about me. A real angel. I did this, but I meant the real angel behind me. And the expression on her face. And I got home and I said, what were you looking at? She never, in 30-something years of marriage, she had never looked at me like that. She says, the most gorgeous angel. The two manifestations of the angels in the kingdom of God is seraphims and cherubims. The seraphims bring fire. I mean, the cherubims bring fire, and the seraphims bring the glory and the manifest presence of God. There's so much to kingdom church than we've been exposed to. My wife and I have been the radical two that would go out and start a women's prison ministry. I ain't never been in prison a day in my life. I'm here with hardcore people. And for 2.5 years, the glory of God fell in that prison ministry. The guards radically got saved, fell on the floor, speaking in tongues. And we sang Ron Canole, 2 years, do not change the format. And the glory with all. And I asked the Lord, what is that? He said, that's kingdom. I said, what? That's kingdom. I said, well, it's not charismatic church. No, he said, that's kingdom. And all these ladies in their heads, Sister Jane, was time. We had church. They told us we couldn't hug them. We hugged 250 of them every Friday night. They told us we couldn't touch them. We laid hands on them and they fell under the power of God. Me and Joe Green, guard woman, big tall woman, 6'2", African American, come in there. She'd tell me, 9:15. I said, Holy Ghost, sicker. The following Friday, we come in and I heard that back door open. Wang-ang! I hear something fall on the ground, on the concrete. Bang! She goes, Shinara-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I said, she ain't singing, she's praying in tongues. She got radically saved on the way down. She got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So I didn't really know her real name, so I called her Sister Green. I said, Sister Green, what do you think? She said, 10:30. Go on, baby, preach it. Divine favor. The kingdom is now.
Amen.
Not going to be in the sweet by and by. It's now.
Yeah.
Say now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Descriptive kingdom, now! The Bible says, Daniel 2:44, and I'm going to paraphrase it. In the days of those kings shall be God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume, put to an end, and these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hebrews 12:28 says, God has given us a kingdom which cannot be moved. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look at me like that. I'm unmovable. I got a king inside of me. How we doing on time? Y'all got all night? Hallelujah. The second thing I want to talk to you about briefly is diversified kingdoms. Diversified kingdom. Colossians 1, verse 13. I paraphrased it a while ago. I said verse 17, but it's verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? Another word for darkness is ignorance. We don't like that word.
And had translated us, changed us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
We're not done. I want you to keep your Bible on your lap right now. I got to obey God.
Throw your hands up.
Now, say, Lord,
Lord,
translate me now.
Translate.
I want to be in the kingdom.
Right now.
Give me the light.
Give me the truth.
Give me the revelation. Who lives inside of me? There's a king in me. And he will not be denied.
He is the king. And we are His loyal subjects. Heirs of God. Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to start toning this down and we're going to pick up in the morning in just a little bit. Verse 1 says, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I like that next one just as well. But is under tutors. Everybody say tutors. Tutors, what does tutors do? Toot your horn. Toot, toot. That's not what that means. Don't write that down on your paper.
But the Bible said to the Jewish people, the tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And see, what the institutional church has done to prevent us from walking in the kingdom principles, they have caused us to be stagnated. And the things that we had that were from God have laid dormant in our spirit. So when some man and woman of God that has a real thing operating comes to preach to you, something begins to stir and come alive in you. And you go, well, I wish I had this in my church.
But you do. The best thing Jesus has in your church is you. There's coming a shift into your position. I see God moving things out of the way that had appeared to be like a block for you. And you've asked the Lord, you've recently, Lord, I feel like I'm being hindered somehow. God's going to deliver you from the Saul mentality in the church who have manipulated and controlled you. And you're going to come out from the hard taskmaster and God's going to send the Holy Ghost, which you already have in you, and begin to tutor you in the things of the kingdom. To the point that He's going to spoon feed you until you will ask Him to stop. But know this. After you have been full, you go out and give everything I gave you, saith the Lord. You see, if you want more, you got to give out what you have. Huh? Too much is given? Here's the principle.
If you're faithful in the little things.
I can't pass this one up, Patty. So one brother started a church. He says, man, he says, we're running 20 people midweek. I said, really? He said, I had to go to two services. What do you mean? He said, I only had 20 chairs. So I had two services a week instead of one. I said, well, why are you doing that? He said, well, I want to keep up with everybody else. You know, everybody else got a big church. They have 2-3 services. And I looked at him. You got to be kidding me. He said, no, I'm not kidding. And I thought, what kind of image are we painting in people's minds? Can I tell you that Jesus never had a mega church? He had 12 of them and one ended up being the devil. Don't look at me. I'm not the devil. Now, kingdom principle, you remember the part in the gospel where they were sitting and they're waiting to be fed. This is another message, but I'm going to give it to you this way. It's free. And he says, well, Master, we have nothing to feed them. And one guy said, there's a lad here.
He's got five loaves and two fishes. Jesus says, send that boy in here. You're sowing and reaping. Kingdom sowing and reaping. Jesus took the stuff, the bread, and he broke it. And he blessed it. Here's distribution. He didn't feed him. He gave it to his disciples. Now, I can't preach my wife's message, and I promise that I would not say anything. And they fed everybody. And the Bible said there were 12 baskets. This is the year of government. 12. There were 12 baskets left over. And he told the disciples, now gather up the fragments. Who's the fragments? You, me, the non and outers, the hurt, the burnout, the shut up, the shut out, who have no place in church. It's only for the elite group. God's looking for you. First principle in the kingdom is observation. And he's looking for whosoever is going to stand up and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Well, I'm going to have to send you to Hot Springs. Oh, no, not anywhere else but Hot Springs. That principle is still operating. The problem is, this is what we've come into in Lafayette. We're taking the body and we're teaching the body how to get up and minister. Whenever we have a meeting, I don't just call the preachers to come up anymore. I do call the pastor and his wife because that's honorable. And then I look through the congregation and whoever the light, God lights up, I said, come on up here. Pray for anybody. Here's your breakthrough, honey. I never prophesied. Here's your chance. Nobody else is going to give you an opportunity. Here it is. We've come to this place because we have the Holy Ghost who is our tutor. And what he's doing, he's removing the Western mindset. And begin to teach us from a Hebraic understanding of who Yeshua HaMashiach is. The same guy we call Jesus. I'm teaching a 12 concept message in my church right now about how to understand kingdom language. I tried preaching that 15 years ago and I fell miserably. But 15 years have come and gone. And I felt in my spirit, I moved another notch. See, you don't have to promote yourself. God promotes you. He knows your heart. He knows your sincerity. He knows that if you're willing to move on and go on with Him. What time? Is that the right time up there? Yeah, it's all right. Okay. We've got a couple of more hours. John 18:36, Jesus pops the cork on the boys and He tells them this. You can go back and read it for yourself. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Have you ever wondered when Paul went to Mars Hill and he looked upon the marquee of the church and it stated to the unknown God? If that can become resident in your thinking, how many people endlessly week after week after week after week after week go into these dead churches? I didn't come here to badger churches. I had a couple of dead ones myself because I was dead along with them. I was the chief of the dead ones. I just hadn't rolled over and nobody threw dirt on me yet. I just was dead. But I knew there was something more than what I had received in the charismatic church. There was something more than what I had obtained in 4 years of college. And it was the Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I realized that I came to the place that I was His woman. Ladies, y'all should have said, amen, brother preacher. You missed a good chance. If Jesus was standing here tonight, without fear or trembling, He could sing, when a man loves a woman. Because He loves. Oh, you want to laugh? Watch this.
What did he commission the men to do, wives? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Another translation for church, woman. Out of man, out of God came a woman. What do you think Percy Sledge got that revelation about when a man loved a woman? He's thinking about sexual things. God was thinking about spiritual things. How God loves us. And the best is yet to come. I just thought tonight I'd wet your whistle. And tomorrow, Lord willing, and I have to say it that way because Hayden changed my whole thing before I get up here. We'll get into these other concepts about a kingdom church. Because the kingdom of God is progressive. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, "Ooh, I'm kingdom church. Whoa, glory to God. I heard the preacher. Whoa, I bought the tapes. I got the CDs. I got the booklet. Glory." You got enough to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Say, "Yes, Lord." Standing in the need of prayer. Send to your feet. Some of you have really come here at this camp meeting to find some kind of hope. On the way up here, God began to minister to me and said to me that there will be people there tonight that will be as low as the totem pole. They've just about lost hope. Some of you are contemplating leaving your church because there's absolutely no life. It's a ritual. You go through the same motions over and over, but you're never producing life inside of you. Before we close tonight, Sister Jane, if you would play for me, please, softly. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and really think about what would you want the Lord to do for you in this kairos moment. We won't have tomorrow because it may not come. We're only promised right now. And if we have tomorrow, it will take care of itself. So if you need prayer tonight, you need healing, you need ministry, I want you to start where you are, come to the front. My wife's not here to help me tonight, but Sister Pat and some of these other ladies, if we have ladies that need ministry, will help me. I want you to get out of your seat and come to the front. Some of you, he's already nudged you twice. Just move. Move, move, move. We have no time to waste. Richard. Hallelujah. Been rough, hasn't it? I saw your heart tonight. I want to tell you something. God is going to do something miraculously for you tonight. You've been crying out to God. Say, "God, I need this, or I don't know what I'm going to do." Has that been your heart cry? Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now for the fire. Lord,
fire! Loosen now.
In the name, let forgiveness flow. You know who I'm talking about. Just let it go. Let it go. All of it. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Loose. In the name of Jesus. By an act of your will, Father, I forgive. All those who offended me, those I've offended, set me free now. In Jesus' name. Amen, brother. You're on your way to recover. Hallelujah. Go ahead, let it out, brother. Let it out. I need some catchers. The anointing comes upon you, just relax. Okay? Father, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, touch my sister tonight. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Just relax. Let it go. Let it go. There it is. Peace. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Carla. Carla. Peace.
Thank you.
Peace. Go ahead and minister to her.
Father, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands for the Lord. Give that burden to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Watch her. In Jesus' name. There's no reason to be embarrassed. Just give it all to God. Just let yourself fall in His arms tonight. Go ahead. Get it all. Get it all. Get it all. Get it all. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There it is. Father, let the time of grief be over. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. You're His preacher. You're His minister. From this day on. Release it. Give it all to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that these hands are made to heal by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just relax. Don't stiff neck God. Let Him go. Let it go. Let it go. There it is. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Espanol? You love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus is going to heal your broken heart. Almost to the point where it's, you don't even know if it's going to come back together. Am I telling the truth? You suffered from a broken heart. God's going to... I see God bringing some restoration in your family. Kind of been distant. Restoration is coming back to your house. Jesus told Nicodemus, He says, Zacchaeus, salvation's coming to your house tonight. Restoration's coming to your house. That loved one's going to return. All the differences are going to be mended and your heart's going to be healed.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, give it all to Him. Lord, she gives it to You tonight. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Oh, all of it. All of it. All of it. All of it. Let the fire come, Lord. Let the fire come. There it is. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse this Parkinson disease. In the name of Jesus, I curse you at the root. You foul spirit, I command you to loose your hold. You have no authority in this body. In Jesus' name, you trembling spirit, loose him now. Go. Father, heal his mind. Heal his body. In the name. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch his mama, grandma. Lift your hands for the Lord. Jesus loves you. Father, let there be peace. Where there is no peace. Let there be harmony where there's strife. I pray in Jesus' name. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch my sister tonight. Touch her whole life. Let your anointing penetrate her being tonight. Let her feel your presence like never before. In the name of Jesus. Something about a circle. I see you going around in circles. Is that good?
No.
Not good for you, huh? Are you going around in circles? It's going to come to an end. Just trust the Lord. Raise your hand and receive it now. Give it to Him. You can't fix it. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. There it is. There it is. Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, touch my brother. Bless him and help him. Heal his heart, oh God. Give him hope where there is no hope. Bring light where there's no light. In the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach. Now, Father, let the fire come down on him now. There it is. There it is. There it is. Feel that heat? Just relax. Let the Lord touch you. Relax. I'm not going to push you. Relax. 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 Dear God, bless Sister Bernadine with many, many more years.
Yes.
God, strengthen her body.
Okay.
She's been a faithful servant. She's been faithful in little. She's been faithful in much. Bless her, touch her, heal her,
oh God,
and make her whole.
Yes, Father.
I hear the Lord saying something to me. That's going to mean something more to you than will some folks in here. I feel like a bolt of lightning, another Holy Ghost fire jerk will come on you.
Uh-huh.
God says it's going to happen to you again like it happened to you before.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to feel the presence of God in a mighty, 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 mighty
yeah.
way.
Okay.
You want a prayer? I don't want to skip you. Come on. Pray, people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. Me na la hanyo ni. Yana la bo mum hana na mo. Nili yano roba siti. Bene yando de yon. Brana sato. Brasinano de bata. Mano sobrende di. The finality of your pain, says the Lord, will finally dissolve. And you will walk the walk of a Nazarite. And you will be separate. You will be an outcast of many, says the Lord. But there ought to be of good cheer. I'm in control. And I love you with an everlasting love. And I will comfort you when no other could comfort. I see your tears in the midst of the night and your sleepless nights, but I, the Lord, will grant you peace beyond measure. So receive tonight and know that I have said the finality is at its end. It's over. Put it to rest. And rest in me and receive the joy of your salvation. Say the Lord. Wow, Mary. Powerful. Both? Okay. How old are you, darling? How much? My baby girl is going to be 13 next week. You beat her to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch him, O God. In the precious name of Jesus. Peace. Peace, Lord. There's been some disturbances in your life. You've been in some hard places. Your heart has really been torn. God says, tonight, I'm sending you and touching you afresh and new. And you will remember this night when I touch you, says the Lord. And I'm going to turn your life around. So don't be dismayed, don't be fearful, because it didn't happen right away. But know I, the Lord, have touched you this night. Say, God, Father, let the turnaround be quick. Let the anointing flow in her body in the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus. Jesus. You know the Lord, honey? Good. You love Jesus? God is going to use you in the end time morning. You're going to be a mighty warrior for God. Don't let people look down at you because you're short. God says you may be of small stature on the outside, but you're going to be big on the inside. God is going to use you mightily. I see God using you in school. With your friends and your neighbors, teaching them about the goodness of the Lord. Don't be afraid. God is always with you. Hey, Brother Benny. I'm glad God gave you a new brain, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I probably need some of that myself. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless Brother Benny. Lord, continue your healing virtues. Make him complete. Strengthen his body. Give him many more years.
Yes,
let him be as strong as Caleb. Let his eyes not be dim.
Yes.
and his ears not be dumb.
Hallelujah.
Let him cross over his Jordan.
Yes.
And move on to his promised land.
Yes.
We bless him.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Everything that I need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I receive it now. I receive it now. I receive it now. I receive it. Receive it. Whoop. There it was. Receive it. There it is. Receive it. Go ahead. Get it. Get it all. Get it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His countenance to shine upon you. The Lord cause His grace to grow in you. And the Lord give you rest. And the Lord give you peace. In the name of Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early. God bless you. Good night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.